This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
$1,200 stimulus checks could be in the bank accounts of producers and other taxpayers starting next week, while others may need to wait longer for paper checks. Farmers, ranchers, and others could see pandemic stimulus payments starting next week if they file tax returns for 2019 or 18, or have Social Security and direct deposit information on file with the IRS. White House Ways and Means top Republican Kevin Brady.
It is moving fast. I was really pleased to see Secretary Mnuchin's timetable for mid-April for those tax rebates to go out, most of them direct deposit. And I really applaud a very smart move he made to not require seniors and those that don't file taxes to have to refile taxes. I think this is a very smart, streamlined way to move those tax rebates hassle-free.
Though paper checks to those individuals who don't file returns could take a few more weeks, non-filers can speed the process by providing Social Security numbers and addresses through an upcoming portal at treasury.gov. And the $1,200 rebates to individuals with under $75,000 in income, less for those making up to $99,000, and $500 to children under 17 may not be the last. Senate Finance Chairman Chuck Grassley agrees a fourth pandemic rescue package is likely, especially for small businesses that do not get SBA help from two programs totaling over $350
billion. And if the $350 billion isn't enough, I presume we're going to, as a matter of equity, that we're going to increase X number of dollars, what it takes to help the last small business person that qualifies.
Bank of America and Wells Fargo say they're already swamped by demand for payroll protection loans and emergency economic injury loans, and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin has already asked Congress for another $250 billion for SBA loans. Ways and Means Kevin Brady says businesses can also defer payroll taxes under the CARES Act.
The deferral of the payroll taxes, this is, in essence, applies to all businesses of all sizes. It is an interest-free loan. It allows businesses to keep these dollars in their bank accounts, not Washington, through the end of the year.
Brady also says companies will have 2 years to pay back those loans, keeping dollars in local economies, while helping businesses retain workers during this crippling pandemic. In other National Ag News here on your Friday morning, the April World Ag Supply and Demand Estimate, or WASDE, report from the USDA showed both corn and soybeans with higher ending stocks. The 2019-2020 corn outlook calls for reduced imports, greater feed and residual use, lower food, seed, and industrial use, as well as larger ending stocks. Ending stocks were raised 200 million bushels to 2.092 billion. The season average price for corn was dropped by 20 cents to 360 a bushel. U.S. soybean numbers show lower exports, seed use, and residual use, higher crush, and higher ending stocks. Higher crush will only partially offset the other lower numbers, bringing projected ending stocks to 480 million bushels, 55 million bushels higher than the March report. The season average soybean price is forecasted to drop 5 cents to 865 a bushel. The wheat outlook expects lower exports, reduced domestic usage, and increased ending stock. The forecast now expects ending stocks at 970 million bushels. That's up 55 million bushels from the March report. The season average farm price for wheat is now up 5 cents to 460 per bushel. And as I reported in the livestock report in part one of your Morning Ag Show today, fears of meatpacker employees contracting coronavirus due to the close conditions they work in have led to several facilities idling their production in recent weeks. For example, Tyson has temporarily ceased operation at its pork plant in Columbus Junction, Iowa, after 24 employees were found positive with coronavirus. Politico says at least three people who work for Tyson plants, as well as JBS USA, have died from the virus. However, there aren't a large number of operations that have temporarily shuttered production or have even scaled back. The CEO of JBS says he's 100% confident that his employees are safe at a beef plant in Greeley, Colorado. However, a longtime employee died after being hospitalized with the virus. The major meatpacking companies all say they've taken appropriate steps to abide by CDC-recommended guidelines. The food industry has been deemed essential and continues to function amid the pandemic. Quote, as employees have tested positive for COVID-19, the industry has been working with local health authorities and the Food Safety and Inspection Service to take immediate steps to quarantine, sanitize facilities, and prioritize the health and safety of employees, says Sarah Little, the Vice President of Communications for the North American Meat Institute. And in other national livestock news, cattle groups and senators have been putting the pressure on Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue, who responded to the pressure on Twitter. His tweet says the USDA's Packers and Stockyards Division would expand its investigation into the cattle markets. The Hagstrom Report says the inquiry will now cover the cattle market conditions stretching from a last summer fire in Kansas last year up to the market conditions following the emergence of COVID-19. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association has called for an investigation last Wednesday, with Perdue responding the same day. NCBA President Marty Smith says, quote, I would like to thank President Trump and Secretary Perdue for their quick response to the NCBA's request to expand the agency's investigation into the cattle markets. He says they believe the investigation will restore cattle producers' confidence in the market. They're also looking forward to the agency's recommendations on how to improve things in the industry. Senator Kevin Cramer of North Dakota pointed out that live cattle futures prices declined in March, while prices for boxed beef sold at grocery stores rose. Quote, the obvious price disparity is harmful not only to the consumer, but also for our hardworking, honest cattlemen who just want a fair market, Cramer said. Moving on into more regional ag news now on your Friday. The water runoff forecast for the Missouri River is down slightly this month, though still projected at near record highs. Gavin's Point releases in North Dakota are forecast to remain near 35,000 cubic feet a second through the month of April. Runoff above Sioux City, Iowa was 5.5 million acre feet in March, which is almost two times its average. The above-average runoff is primarily due to plain snowmelt over heavily saturated soil. Based on current soil moisture conditions, current plains and mountain snowpack, and long-term temperature and precipitation outlooks, the 2020 calendar year upper basin runoff forecast is now at 35.5 million acre-feet above Sioux City. Although this forecast is a reduction of 1.4 million acre-feet from March 1st, it is still the top 10 percentage of the 122 years of runoff records. Soil moisture conditions continue to be very wet for much of the upper Missouri River, increasing the potential for above-average runoff in the upper basin. The potential for flooding remains, particularly in the lower stretches of the Missouri River as it reaches the Mississippi River at St. Louis. Back in March, the USDA surveyed farmers about how many acres of corn they expected to plant this year. Collectively, they said 97 million. That's enough to keep corn prices low for months. There are a lot of problems within the agricultural sector at the moment, says Todd Hubbs from the U of I. Some have to do with the supply chain and COVID-19. Ethanol usage, for instance, has dropped like a rock as commuters have stayed home. That means less corn is needed now to make more ethanol. Other issues go back to decisions made coming into this spring. That 97 million acre projection for corn is an example. It all adds up to a lot more corn and a lot less usage, says Hubbs, and that's a bad thing for price.
If we plant 97 million acres and the USDA's yield forecast at 178.5 is right, and we're staring at around a 15.9 to 16 billion bushel crop, if you add 2 billion onto that, you're staring close to an 18 billion bushel supply for the 2020-21 marketing year. And even if we did 14.8 billion bushels of use, which would be a record total, it's near the highest we've ever done. And you're looking at carrying out over 3 billion bushels in 2020-2021, and that's going to have severe implications for corn prices.
Severe and deep implications for the price of corn, said Hubbs.
I think the possibility of seeing sub-$3 cash corn prices over large areas of the Corn Belt our distinct possibility if we plant 97 million acres of corn.
You heard that right. Hubs at the U of I thinks $3 cash corn prices are possible across the Midwest for an extended period of time if farmers actually plant 97 million acres of corn this spring. In other Midwestern ag news here for your Friday, as we all know, the ag industry was deemed as an essential service by the governor and the federal government, but also the trucking industry falls under that umbrella as well. Don Schaefer with the Midwest Truckers Association in Springfield explains that while the trucking industry is essential, the state and federal government have also relaxed a few regulations to make sure shipments of groceries to even those N95 masks get moved across the state even quicker.
Yes, FMCSA made their emergency declaration, and then the state of Illinois followed through with their declaration. The state of Illinois declaration gives those truck operators who are engaged in transportation of goods and services that are tied to the relief effort, and that's a really broad definition. They can carry up to 90,000 pounds. Plus, the federal designation waives the hours of service regulations. In other words, how many hours they can drive, but they still have to follow their window, that 14-hour window. They can drive as much as they want in that time frame, but they still have to take the rest. But it does give them a lot of flexibility that they otherwise do not have. So, I mean, this is it's good. It gives the drivers that that opportunity to you know, be more efficient and to get things done, and that's what's happening right now. We're seeing a lot of these drivers that are, for example, grocery stores. You know, you've been to a grocery store, you know exactly what it's been like the last couple of weeks. And so this is basically in response to that, you've got those truck operators that are hauling groceries, gives them a little bit more flexibility to keep the stores stocked. You know, Walgreens, for example, another one. You know, the pharmacies and the drugstores, they're considered a critical cog in this whole thing. And so they are also, you know, taking advantage of these declarations and to be able to get these things done. So, you know, in looking back in the last maybe 2.5 weeks, the system has worked. The declarations that were made were accommodations that were necessary. But, you know, the store shelves are staying stocked. Emergency supplies are getting delivered. We don't see shortages of fuel. All these things are critical no matter what, but especially right now.
And again, that was Don Schaefer with the Midwest Truckers Association. And finally now, taking a look at state ag news here on your Good Friday morning, livestock producers hoping to see retailers lift the limits on dairy and meat purchases. Illinois Farm Bureau's Mark Gebhardt says the industry needs some help in that area.
How can we try and get the retail facilities that are limiting the purchases of either dairy or products or meat products to lift that limit? And we talked about that quite a bit. We have, as we indicated yesterday, we have had some positive results. We know that some of our larger grocers have already lifted that. So there was some consideration. I think Director Costello wants to look at this again and see what maybe he could do from his end, whether that's a letter encouraging folks to consider this. Again, we're not quite sure what direction he'll be able to take yet, but he is certainly cognizant of the issue and trying to work on it.
Gebhardt spoke with the new Illinois Department of Ag director earlier this week. And that concludes your Ag News here for your Friday morning. But remember, if you have Ag News for us, you can send any of those items to us here at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Friday morning, Good Friday, April the 10th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.